This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Unfortunately, sarcasm, as always, goes unnoticed here, Brock. It is Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Let's see. We're going to talk to a little roundtable of people who know their way around sports gambling. Tomorrow at this time, we'll be talking to Brent Musburger. Looking forward to that. And I have Kyle looking to see if we can find Tim Donaghy, because I would love to get that guy on the show at some point and kind of hear some of his story and what he thinks will happen now. He's sort of a guy who would have some experience in all this. So psyched for Brent Musburger tomorrow. But for today, Jim Moore and Dave Grosby, or the Gros, are both going to join us here in just a moment to talk some gambling.
In the next 5 years, and as I said to you earlier this morning as we discussed this at 7:30, over the next 5 years, do you think we will see a real tangible change in our lives? Not necessarily your decisions of gambling or mine, but just maybe in this job, in the job I do as a broadcaster, do you think it will be a real, like, man, it just, do you remember those days before there was legalized gambling? Do you think it will be that significant a difference? Or do you think it'll just be something actually more regulated, just kind of more in the light? And
I think that. I don't think it'll be a, you know, this is not a sea change moment for the sports media, or I think for the way most of us watch sports. I think it is much more of a potential game changer for the money and the way that moves around and who makes it.
How about growing it? As you said earlier, the more eyes, the better
in the sports. Sure.
You know,
but it's not going to make the NFL bigger than it already is,
no.
Right? I mean, but could it help with some of the other sports? Yeah, maybe. I mean, could this be a way to in-person bet on baseball when you're at the games? Absolutely. Could golf change a little
Cuban's
bit because
comments
of it?
Yesterday, by
yeah,
the way.
It's like the one thing that will make baseball interesting. He's just bitter, though, because they wouldn't let him into the club. He's tried like 10 times to own a baseball team, and
man,
they won't let him in.
Calls
so.
The NFL a bunch of hogs that
right.
get slaughtered, takes a shot and a swing at baseball.
Come on, he's just Cuban. Bitter about anybody who won't let him in. I mean, I think you know exactly what's going on there. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure how all this is going to change. Look, I like to bet. I like gambling, personally. I like to play a lot of blackjack, as you know. I like to go to Vegas. I certainly have no moral indignation about this. I know there's some people that do. I do have some questions about where the money is going to flow and who it comes from and who it goes to. I've got some questions about the integrity of all of the sports, and I think that based on, you know, the Donaghy scandal of a few years ago, you got to at least ask some of those questions. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I'm certainly not somebody who would want to stand in the way of this. Let's talk to a couple of our experts from the station. Jim Moore from Danny Dave and Moore and the Gros join us both here on the Venue Kings Hotline. Hi, guys. How is everybody doing today?
Doing good.
Awesome.
Good morning.
Well, let's jump in here because we wanted to kind of, you know, roundtable this thing with you guys because you are probably the two people on the station
experts.
Yeah, who are the biggest experts in this field. Gros, we'll start with you. How do you see life changing now with this deal eventually going into place?
Well, it's going to change in New Jersey pretty quick. Apparently the Monmouth track is ready to start taking bets on May the 28th. So that's the state, of course, that petitioned the Supreme Court. So they're ready. I think first and foremost for people in Washington State, this is going to take some time. There is no infrastructure in place to get the ball rolling here yet. They need a supermajority, and Jeff Baker wrote an interesting, you know, just a good informative piece in the Times today about the process that has to go on. Most estimates are that Washington State won't be ready to roll this out for between 3 to 5 years. So I would say that first and foremost, while it's going to be quick in some places, it's not going to be all that quick here. In terms of changing the landscape, there's already $150 billion bet illegally on sports. I can't see it dramatically changing the landscape. There's some tax revenues that'll come in that'll help. It'll certainly help businesses like ours. It'll certainly help pro sports teams, who Mark Cuban, I think, accurately said his value of his franchise just doubled. So, it's going to happen. You know, what they did was make it legal still for Congress to step in and regulate it, which I don't think they're going to do. So I don't know that we'll see how quickly mobile comes in. That's not a guarantee that the whole deal will be you're sitting there and making bets on your phone. I mean, in England, they have storefronts as well as doing it on the phone. So there's a whole lot to be figured out here in the next couple of years.
So, Jim, I can hear River back there celebrating and barking with the news yesterday. How did you receive it? How did you take it? Did you see it as a turning point moment?
he He's not happy, Brock. He got neutered last Friday, and he's wait, River. He's romping around with a cone on his head, so I think that's why he's barking. I just have always thought it's so stupid that they don't legalize sports betting. I just look at it as a victimless crime, and Graz covered all the bases there, so I don't have too much to add. But I'm happy that we're finally at this stage where, I mean, you imagine everybody over in England looking at us, going, "Man, I can't believe that they're so prim and proper over there in the States that they haven't come around on this this topic." So. And like Graz is saying, it's going to take quite a while for it to be legal in Washington, but at least the first step's in place now.
Jim, how did you start? How did you start gambling on sports? Allegedly, obviously.
I don't know. Probably as a kid in Greg Gustafson's basement on, he had a house down on Lake Sammamish, and we'd bet on ping pong and, just bet on different kids games and stuff like that. I guess that's where it started.
Do you remember calling your first bookie? How do you find that?
Wait a minute. You're assuming that I actually have done that.
Right. Allegedly.
I'm assuming that. How did you first call? How did you find that person?
I'll go ahead and tell you everything about something like that, as long as I don't lose my job.
No, I can't imagine how that would occur. No, how did you, this is years ago. How did you stumble into that?
Gambling with a bookmaker is technically illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you didn't do that.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I know nothing about this stuff. I'm the last person. My biggest knowledge when it comes to sports betting was waiting to buy my tux for my senior prom while this guy who was a couple years older than us in school worked there. And while we were in the dressing room getting dressed, he got roughed up by some people that he owed gambling money to. And we were like, oh, my God, Jesse Sarzan is going to get his butt kicked out there. So this is very foreign to us. So how do people in general go about that then?
People in general, how do they go about it?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly, Mike. I really don't. It's not that hard, though. I suppose if you want drugs, you can find a drug dealer. And if you want to bet on a game, you can find a bookmaker too.
You think it changes the game? Do you think the money?
There's the offshore. Well, sorry, Brock, to interrupt you. I mean, there's offshore sites too that you can get on. There's a bunch of them. I mean, Bovada's one of them. But, they've got crackdowns. Washington is a difficult state that way. So I think a lot of people, I just have always felt like, if somebody wants to bet a few bucks on a game, I understand that it can become a problem. I mean, Gamblers Anonymous is there for a reason. It gets compulsive and addictive. And so you got to watch out for that type of thing. But as long as you keep it recreational, it can be fun. I don't see a problem with betting 10 or 20 bucks on a game or even 50 or, 100 or whatever if you can afford it. So it's just never been anything that I've looked at as being something that should be so frowned upon and that, they should cuff you and take you away if you're betting on a game. So what?
Hey, Graz, what is the worst beat you can remember?
Gosh, there have been so many. So many.
Hey, Graz, don't you remember those? You remember those more than the big wins.
I actually don't. I try and lie. I mean, I have a different approach to it. I try and forget them as fast as they happened. Bad beats are what keep you out of the game. I've had some Super Bowl misses. I think most of the ones I can think of were NCAA tournament games down in Vegas, where guys hit shots at the end of the game. I remember a game between it was Kansas and someone else, and they were about a 38-point favorite, and they were up by 40 points and 39 points, and a kid hit a half-court shot to make it 37 points, and the casino went nuts, and it ruined a big bet for me. So I've had a lot of them to answer the question. It's hard for one to immediately come to mind. Some Super Bowl ones have been bad. But I tend to remember the good ones.
Okay. What's the best one?
Giants over the Patriots in the Super Bowl the year they were undefeated. That was my favorite one.
Yeah. Jim, you ever won? You ever won big at the track? You ever had a big win?
No, I've never won. I'm just a loser. No, yeah, I've had some times.
I've heard an epic story. Hold on a second. I heard an epic story. You may have won at Longacres back in the day. Is there any truth to that? You had an epic win back in the day at Longacres?
No, I've never had epic wins out there. I've had good days at the track, but I've had more bad days. Probably the story you're referring to is there was one time I was out there with my buddies, and you know, back then Longacres was the only place that you could gamble, and we were out there and we didn't have a very good day. And then we thought, so, and then the 10th race, that was the only race you could bet the exacta. All the other races were just straight win, place, show. And so the 10th race was kind of fun because you could, you know, put a couple of horses together and maybe make things happen. And then that didn't work out either. And then we thought, well, okay, we still wanted to gamble, and we decided to go to Reno. And so we went to SeaTac, and back then the flights weren't that expensive if you did them last minute. And I just remember being at the MGM about midnight. Of course, we were drunk and, you know, wondering what in the world we had done. And we were standing there and we were playing craps. We were having a good time. And I just remember my first wife not being very happy when I called her and told her where I was. I didn't tell her ahead. I suppose I was supposed to be home that evening, but I was in Reno. I was Reno instead.
No cell phone.
One of the reasons why she's an ex-wife and not a grandwife.
Well, now thinking about horse racing.
Go ahead, Jim. Finish out, then we'll let Gross.
Go ahead, Gross.
I was just going to say, I hadn't thought about horse racing, but in 97, there was a local owner by the name of Mike Pagram who had a horse, a real quiet, win the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. And we went out and did a show at the Belmont, and he invited me to sit in the owner's box, and I was going to be in the picture if the horse won the Triple Crown for the first time since Citation. And he had about an 8 or 9 length lead at the top of the stretch. And I'm envisioning what I'm going to look like in the picture. And then Gary Stevens caught him with Winning Colors or Victory Gallop, I think was the name of the horse. And he missed the Triple Crown by about 2 inches. And that was definitely the biggest disappointment I had, the biggest frustrating, I'm never going to gamble again, that, of course, didn't take.
Do either of you guys think that there will be any level of seediness that will enter into the general sports landscape because of this?
Of course. Tremendous amount of seediness. You know, if you use the English example, well, actually, use off-track betting in New York. I mean, did you ever go to an off-track betting parlor when they were in New York City?
I've been to Hollywood Park on a Friday night in Inglewood, California, and it's real seedy. I mean, it's people betting their paychecks, and it was sort of like I didn't go back after that because it was just kind of it upset me a little bit.
Well, one of the questions will be go ahead, Jim.
Well, I was just going to say, how is that any different than what you see at casinos right now? Anyway, with people, using their paycheck.
I don't know. Usually I'm drunk at the casino. I just kind of walk right by that. I don't notice any of it. I don't know why, but for some reason it felt seedier.
It's all going to depend on how they implement it. I mean, you know, there's people that are hoping that it'll immediately be done with your cell phone. You'll be able to bet that way. That's going to be a big fight as to whether or not it's going to be that, or it's going to be at the quote unquote brick and mortar places like casinos. Casinos are standing to be the big winners in this because they're the most equipped to do it. But it's not going to benefit them as much if people can do it with their phone. And that's an assumption that everyone has as well. It'll just be easy to do, and I'll be able to sit in the stands and bet on games. And if they go with the Vegas example, which is really the only one out there, there'll be some of that, but not a lot of that. So, it depends on how it's bet. I mean, if you have to go to a betting place, yeah, there'll be an element of seediness to it. There always has been. If you do it on your phone in the stands, it'll be different, but that's one of the big things to be decided as to how it's actually going to play out. And that's why in New Jersey, where it's happening first, where it's going to happen in 2 weeks, it's playing out at a racetrack first. They got a sports betting site. William Penn has already got it set up and ready to go on May the 28th. And that's how it's starting. So it all depends on how it's set up. If you can do it on your phone, then it'll take an element of seediness out of it because you'll just be doing it on your phone. If it's at places, though, it'll be just like Jim said. It'll be like casinos are now.
I guess last thing here, and we'll let you guys both get running. In over the next 5 years, was yesterday a watershed moment? In the next 5 years, as you guys kind of look out in this process and you envision, you know, some of your guys' background in doing this, and and some of the relationship you have with it in the past. Was yesterday a watershed moment that over the next 5 years we're going to look back and go, wow, did this ever change the sports landscape? Jim?
Yeah, I think so. I suppose we're going to look back on it 5 years from now and go, man, I can't believe it took that long to legalize sports gambling. And at least that's the way I look at it. Like I told you earlier, I just have always thought it was kind of crazy and how it's, you know, I understand why it's illegal, but I just have always felt like it's something that's not that big of a deal. And then why not capitalize if you're the NBA, NHL, NFL, all the professional sports leagues? Why don't you capitalize on the revenue stream? And then also, you know, the state of Washington or all the states. And you already have lotteries and all these things. And so it's kind of funny to me how there's always this dark cloud over gambling, and yet there's gambling everywhere. We've got the tribal casinos, we've got lotteries, we've got all this different stuff going on, and so why is sports excluded from that?
Yep. Ross?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a huge difference in how you feel about it. There's already an estimated $150 billion bet illegally. Now it's just going to be legal. It's where it's going to have a bigger impact is all the ancillary stuff that Jim was touching on. It's going to be very helpful to people in our business. It's going to be very helpful to broadcast networks who carry sports. There's going to be an uptick in information in people watching because they've got money on games and things like that, and that they want more information. I don't think people are saying it's going to hurt Vegas. Vegas is not going to be hurt at all by this. Vegas wasn't hurt by the tribal casinos. Vegas wasn't hurt by the lotteries. It's not going to be impacted by this at all. And when you think about lotteries and the impact they were supposed to have, they really didn't in terms of cultural change or anything like that. So, I don't think it'll be that big a deal. I think that there's definitely some truth to what Jim said, that we're going to wonder, geez, this is all that there is. This is why it took so long. But as you pointed out at the beginning there, Mike, there's already been the Donaghy scandal. There have already been scandals and things like that while it's been illegal. It's hard to imagine that making it legal is going to make that a bigger concern than it already is.
Guys, we appreciate it. Thanks for both stopping by here, and hopefully we didn't get either of you guys in trouble. You can hear the Groz every day, including today at noon on Bob Groz and Tom, and of course Jim's show, Danny, Dave, and more at 3 o'clock this afternoon and every day. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
You got it.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
There you go. There's Jim and the Groz spending a few minutes here on the Venue Kings Hotline. I don't know. Let me just say this. I'm mostly for this. I honestly would probably vote for this if it came to it in Washington and say, yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, people should be able to do what they want. I do have some concerns about where the money comes from and where the money goes. I do think that people who don't need it are going to make it. Owners and casino owners and league owners and team owners and all that. People who are, you know, multimillionaires and billionaires are going to be the ones raking in the profits because this whole thing is rigged in their favor. So I think that part is just sort of generally obnoxious, but not enough to make something illegal. The other sort of unintended consequence of this, though, is the potential for seediness. And I don't, the last thing I want to do is go to a baseball game and have these sort of like, have sort of shadowy figures walking around that are taking bets or something like that. And I don't know whether that's going to happen, but I don't, you know, without getting too deep and political into this whole thing, I voted for the legalization of marijuana here in Washington, and I think that it's a good idea. I would not change my vote on it, but I also think, and especially some other states, it does get gross. Like like you walk down Venice Beach from when I lived there in the early 2000s to now in California, it's just gotten gross. Yep. And Venice Beach, I know, has sort of gone up and down. Maybe that's not the best example, but I've heard some stories about Colorado and just all of a sudden, the next thing you know, there's just like weed dealers everywhere up and down the streets, and it's not necessarily. I don't have like a moral problem with it. It just sort of looks gross and feels seedy.
You just don't know the consequences of it. And I'll tell you, every conversation we've had, everything that I've listened to on this, I just keep coming back to the NCAA. I keep coming back to student athletes, something that I'm obviously unbelievably passionate about. I was myself. I live that life. I have such a respect for so many of these 18 to 22 year olds that are doing it. And 90% of them, Mike, or 99% of them are never going to play pro sports. And they're just kind of capitalizing on their opportunities. And be it in football or in basketball or in baseball or any of the Olympic sports, you know, that if this now starts to kind of trickle down into the NCAA, which can't manage it, it can't. Okay, I would never argue on the side of the NCAA. It was not built to handle.
Doesn't have the resources.
And handle the explosion that we've already seen. So now, how is it going to possibly manage this and litigate this? The professional sports leagues, those 30 co-op owners in the NBA, they'll be fine. They'll put their barriers. They will get theirs. The 32 in the NFL, an organization that just sold for $2.2 billion, and the 32 in the co-op, that if you're going to be one of those selected 32, they know how to take care of it, and their commissioner takes all the arrows. In baseball, yeah. Those have some barriers.
Yeah.
The NCAA.
Not set up that way.
Not set up that way at all. And huge disparity of those schools that have some of the resources to put some barriers in place and those that don't.
Now, those are some of the negatives on it. There's a lot of positives on this, too. I mean, I honestly think it would be really fun, especially if you can get it onto your phone. If you could even have a geofenced app, so when you're at a game, it only works while you're there. You got to be connected to their network or something. And you could make bets during a game. I think that'd be a blast. You go to a Mariner game and you can start taking bets on, you know, what the next pitch will be or whether the next guy strikes out. And you can just kind of mess around with it, like a penny version of it, where you're just betting on a couple of little things like that throughout the game, or bigger bets on the outcome. I would think that would be kind of fun while you're sitting at the game, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you could kind of do that at a horse track right now. Yeah. You're sitting there and you're watching it, or I've been around.
Can you play at your phone at the track yet, or do you still have to walk up to the the ticket window when you go to the track?
I'm sure nobody knows the answer on the text.
I'm sure.
I'm sure you're not going to get any answer.
I mean, I've never been anywhere where you don't walk up to the ticket window and stuff, but I do wonder whether or not there's now a way to be able to just play on your phone so you don't even have to get up out of your seat. You can just play, but... Yeah, I think there's some really cool elements to this, and I do think it'll be a game changer. I know we'll talk to Brent Musburger tomorrow at 9. No one's going to be more excited than Brent.
He bet on it. I mean, he bet on this happening.
Sure did.
He bet on, you know, a whole network you can find on Sirius Radio yesterday that I'm sure was awfully giddy about this, that Brent saw this coming years ago as he transitioned out of, you know, the media and ABC and ESPN, and, you know, he's down in Vegas and helping run and, I'm sure, fund some of that network.
Text messages, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Could you guys please explain how the owners of sports teams will profit from legal gambling? They will. It remains to be seen exactly how, but they are now working with, and they will immediately start working with Congress to ensure this. Joe Fortenbaugh, who's sort of an expert on this, used to cover gambling in Vegas. Now he hosts a morning show in San Francisco at 95.7 The Game. He's on with Bob Gross and Tom yesterday. He said as much.
What you're going to see from Congress is heavy lobbying on behalf of the professional sports entities. So the NFL, especially NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, probably the NCAA as well, WNBA, they're all going to be lobbying their congressmen, their senators, their governors, and they're going to be doing everything they possibly can to get Congress to kind of, what Goodell is calling, lay out a framework for how to initiate legalized sports betting. It's a fancy way of saying, we want our cut. We're going to pay Congress a lot of money to set up rules in which we will get a cut from this.
And that makes sense. If you've ever been in a corporate meeting where they talk about the future of their business, they're always talking about ways to expand the revenue pool.
Yep.
And this will be another one for all of the major sports if they choose to get involved in it. Just another way of bringing in revenue.
And they're all aggressively doing it.
Yeah. So, good stuff, good conversation. A lot of people saying that, yes, there is now an app so that when you're sitting at the track, you don't need to go up to the window. You can just, of course, bet on your phone. So,
no ticket mouse?
No, you don't need to call the ticket mouse. No, you know, ticket mouse. You don't need to call him. No.
That's a good thing.
You want to get back to the Mariners?
I want to get back to singing.
You do?
You sing.
You want to sing about the Mariners?
Yes.
It was Wade LeBlanc in Minnesota. It's next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
A role play group? What would a role play group? Let me clear my throat.
I hope you don't mind. Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN, Seattle. We're going to answer your questions coming up in 15 minutes. Hope you got some good ones today. Just text us, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Tomorrow, already setting up nicely. We know that we will have Brent Musburger. Has he ever been on our show before?
Yes.
Has he?
Yes.
I don't remember having him on.
Yes.
Recently?
No.
Not a while.
No, not for a while.
What did we have him on?
We've had him on
about?
At least twice in 10 years. That's a good question. I think one time was college football, and it was another thing...
I feel like he was on when I was here. Either I cut some audio or so at some point.
See if it's in the system. I can't tell you I remember. Yeah, but I Brent Musburger will join us tomorrow at 9. He joined that network, the Vegas Betting Network down in Las Vegas, to talk about sports betting exclusively when he left ESPN a year or two ago. And so he should be an interesting guy to talk to tomorrow. We'll do that at 9 o'clock. We'll have another edition, it looks like, tomorrow at 7:30 of Which is Better.
Nice.
Are you excited for some more Which is Better?
So geeked.
I really enjoyed that the last time. despite some of the issues with the 643 and the 463.
Oh, yeah, Kyle's not been a part of this.
No, this will be
his virgin voyage tomorrow at 7:30.
So our hope is to try that.
I'm nervous.
Are you excited?
I'm so nervous.
No, it's great. You just have to decide which is better. It can be anything.
Yeah, but, oh, man, there's so many good options. There's so many great things out there.
There are a lot of good things.
Never nervous service. Don't ever be nervous.
Never nervous. Purvis.
No, I'm never really very nervous. Always got a confident head on my shoulder.
Well, I think Scott might be a little nervous today as he waits for the results of Robinson Cano's visit with the specialist back in Philadelphia. We'll find out whether this is a month or whether it's closer to 2 months and exactly what is necessary. Do they have to have surgery? Do they not, et cetera? Yesterday was the beginning of this new life without Robbie Cano. And what we saw was pretty much what we expected. We saw Gordon Beckham come up. He was called up yesterday during the day. He starts at second base and hit ninth last night. Went 0-for-3. Was blown away by a couple of fastballs early, which was pretty unimpressive. Had a decent at bat later. Hit it right at the third baseman, unfortunately. Made really a nice play to end the eighth inning, which they needed. Just a really nice play. A bare hand, a high chopper at second base. So kind of a little bit of everything on that. But, yeah, Scott Servais laying out what they're going to do.
You know, we talked about it a little bit. I think the key is, you know, D. Gordon committed to him in center field. Understanding that he's had some, you know, highlight moments. He's had some moments that haven't gone that smoothly. But I think for him and the long-term future of this ball club, D. Gordon is our center fielder. One of the things that played into that decision, I'm hopeful we'll know more on Cano's timing, how long he's out. Is it 4 weeks? Is it 6 weeks? Is it 8 weeks after he sees the specialist? And you know, if he's going to have a surgery and what kind of surgery it is. But, you know, for right now, we're, you know, D. Gordon's going to stay in center field. He'll be our leadoff hitter. You know, D. will continue to get better in center field.
All right, so that was the decision yesterday. You also heard John Morosi today mention the idea of going out and getting Brandon Phillips, who's available. Yeah. We mentioned his name yesterday as well. Anything dawn on you since yesterday in talking and watching some of this?
I mean, am I reading into that too much? That as of right now, this is a decision we made.
Right.
But if we hear from this specialist, and, you know, Robbie did say after the game this was a bad break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's some beauty at times that these guys are pretty honest and forthright, especially veteran players. Like, yeah, I knew it was bad. I had the initial x-ray. It was bad. It's a bad break. If this is, did he not leave the door open that if this is a significant longer-term injury and
absolutely,
it's not 4 weeks and it's 8 weeks?
Absolutely, he left the door open, as he should, for two reasons. One, if it's longer than 8 weeks, if this is going to be a season ender, then you have to have that conversation. Two, if it doesn't work and Beckham is terrible or they can't bring in somebody like Brandon Phillips or Romine, yeah, you've got to at least leave the door open for making some other changes. So yeah. I don't think that's a surprise. I think that's always sort of been part of the idea here.
Well, then if it is 8 weeks, if it is then the All-Star game, if it is now we're not going to get him back legitimately until late July, do you look at this a little differently?
No, I think this is option one. And if option one doesn't work, then you start thinking about option two. I would be having a conversation with Brandon Phillips. Thought that yesterday and we brought it up. I think so even more after hearing John Morosi and his thoughts on it. So, yeah, I mean, I want to keep all my options open. For now, though, I'd like to leave D. Gordon in center field. I'm open to changing my mind on that in the future, especially because, as we said yesterday, despite the argument, it's not like this was 100-0 in my mind or yours or even Howdy's the other way.
Yeah.
There's some pretty good arguments in both directions as to how to handle this thing, and good on the Mariners for going with what they think is the right thing, but leaving the door open to make a change.
Yeah, and not a surprise, I think, from Service's perspective to start with D. That it's about D.
Yep.
You know, D has earned that right over 40 games. D has earned that because I think he is one of the most significant factors in this team being where they're at. Six games over 500, right in the mix of it, right in the mix of a wild card spot. Unfortunately, it may be the most difficult division outside of the American League East in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But D deserves a ton of credit, and it should kind of circle around D. And I'll tell you love the sound yesterday of D. Gordon.
It's great.
I love the sound of D. Gordon. This is what you want out of any baseball player. This is insightful. This is humble, and it is deflecting upon his teammates a big part of what Service is developing with his culture.
I wasn't locked in all day, man. I had to lock it in for the guys and put a good at-bat together. I was able to get a good pitch to hit and got in scoring position. But it all starts with Segura doing his job, and that's how we got this win.
He gets the ball in play. How are you reading that play?
Honestly, if the third baseman would have crashed as hard as he did the first time, I was just going to steal the base. And he actually paid attention to me the second time, so... You know, it's just, we got it done. But, you know, we need to talk about Wade LeBlanc and how great he was. He was awesome for us. You know, he pitched his behind off for us, and, you know, we was able to keep us close until we can get an A.
Yeah, you're right, Brock. I really did love that. I heard it last night, and just I almost started applauding. I really love the way he mentions his teammates. deflects away from himself, but also is willing to give you a little insight into the game. Like, yeah, no, if this happens again, I'm stealing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way I'm thinking about it, and this is the way we think through the game. But, yeah, this is the way it happened. And let's credit Wade LeBlanc because he was great last night. So that was cool. The other thing that comes out of last night's game, and again, maybe this is a little intense or a little in-depth.
Inside baseball.
But I think we may be seeing a changing of the guard in the way the late innings go for the Mariners bullpen, which needed to happen. I mean, Nicasio's been brutal recently. They went 4-3 in a road trip. If somebody other than Juan Nicasio is throwing in the eighth inning, or if he is better than he was, you legitimately could have gone 6-1 on this road trip. That's how well the rest of the team played while you were on the road. And last night we did not see Nicasio despite a 1-0 game. Didn't throw the seventh, didn't throw the eighth. Credit to LeBlanc for getting you through six. But when the seventh rolled around, it was James Pazos who worked a pretty good scoreless seventh. Scott Servais impressed afterwards.
James Pazos has earned the right to start pitching, you know, in the back end. He's been one of our most dominant guys. He's found something in his delivery, and he's going right after him with the fastball. The fastball's got a lot of life. But more importantly, I like how he's wired. And tonight, gives it the effort he did, you know, says a lot about him, and, you know, we're going to need him.
I think he likes the way Juan Nicasio's wired as well, but right now it's not getting the job done.
Yeah.
And so for a little bit, you're going to have to sit and watch, and maybe you work yourself back in through some low-leverage innings and have some success, and eventually you'll be back out there in the eighth inning or the seventh or whatever. But for now, you got to go with the guys you can trust, and yeah, the only ones in this team in this bullpen right now appear to be Pazos, Vincent, and Diaz, and we'll see what those first two guys actually look
better
like.
Better pure stuff. We know Nick Vincent is all about deception, but he gets as many swings and misses on his fastball as anybody in the game, remarkably, and it doesn't even touch 92. As far as pure stuff goes, better stuff. Pazos?
Pazos probably has better stuff. I think Nicasio and Generals have better command.
Okay.
I like Pazos' stuff. I don't love his command.
Yes, although over the last four, five, six outings now, he has earned the right, as the skip says.
He's been very good over the last few outings, there's no doubt. But given, watching him over the last couple of years, yeah, I like his stuff. I don't love his command. I don't love his control, even, really. And I would say some of the same stuff about Altuvilla. I really like Dan Altuvilla's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
His command is wobbly, and the control is kind of iffy also.
And the way he's built, you wouldn't think wobbly.
You would
that
not.
Is one no, he's solid. Strong dude, man.
He's a pretty solid dude. So we'll see what this means. They're back at it tonight. They get back to Safeco Field. No rest for the weary as they get in late last night after the weather delay, and they'll get right to it against Texas tonight. 7:10 start. Of course, 6 o'clock pregame show here on 710 ESPN Seattle. You guys ready to answer some questions? You guys got some good ones out there? 710-710, powered by Coors Light. You know it works. You text us. We're going
to
answer.
And I'm ready to apologize.
Oh.
For 2 hours and 40 minutes. I owe the Cleellum golf coach an apology and his best player and the player's dad. So I will do that.
An apology from Brock forthcoming, along with your questions next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's do this. Let's answer your question. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Before we do, Brock would like to issue an apology.
Yeah, Tyler upstairs, T-Bone, played a round of golf yesterday. Had a great time. His friend Phil, just a wonderful, wonderful time. Beautiful day in Suncadia. I played the best round I played in 20 years.
Wow.
Like, I don't even know what happened. It was just one of those rounds. It was just magical. My chipping, I didn't even putt that good. It was, honestly, my best round in 20 years. And then afterwards, we're walking around the neighborhood, and on Mondays, they close the prospector course, right? And they just have Rope Rider open. Well, someone was playing on it. It's like, oh, that's famous. So we kind of walk up to the tee block, and well, it turns out they had a right to be playing on it. There's like a big district tournament coming up. It's Cleellum golf coach. And I was just in one of those kind of cocky moods. Uh-oh. Like, just don't do it. And now I at least recognize that, Kyle, you can get on the mic. When I get in these situations and kind of make people uncomfortable. And I was like, now on the tee, right? Kind of joking
around.
You kind of
have a boisterous presence.
Yeah.
When you're kind of feeling that.
Yeah.
Little flow,
it was just
cockiness.
Too, It was just too much. It was just too much. Instead of like, and then, made a scene watching him. And then this kid, I didn't think he was in high school, built like Dan Altuvilla, right? Now on the team, and he swung like John Daly. And the coach is like, no, he's pretty good. And, he was pretty good. He burled one like 330 yards down the fairway. And then his pops got up, and he tried to swing like son. I was like, hey, pops, you may want to slow that down a little bit. I mean, just out of control.
You're just taking some liberties.
I was. Way too many liberties. So, father, son, golf coach, sincerely. I was way over the top.
It's terrible.
Inappropriate, and I'm sorry for that.
You know, you're a very recognizable figure.
We got some laughs. We all had fun with it, but it was not funny. Okay. So I apologize. No.
I'm sure it was like that. I'm better than laughter. Like, oh,
yeah, I'm better than that. Fun. I'm better than that.
Okay. Good. I apologize. I appreciate that. We appreciate that about you.
Right. You know, what have I always said? Confession?
Bad for the reputation, good for the soul.
There you go.
I remember that.
Good.
And my memory's right on point.
Yeah.
Jerks, you mentioned a top five color board the other day. Could you name your top five colors right now?
Yeah, we are going to do this.
Yes.
It's
in the development stage.
Yeah, it is totally going to happen.
R&D right now.
It's going to happen. It's got to come out of my pocket. I don't care.
Roger will be on that list.
Roger's on that list for sure.
I think the Dallas dude has got to be near there.
You like him more
I love
than
the
I
Dallas
do.
Dude.
If he's on there, he's my fifth.
Really?
I mean, I love the energy. Got a smile.
I
but
love
he's
the
just,
Dallas dude. It always makes me happy.
Kind of a flopper.
It's okay. I just like he makes me happy.
I mean, Jermichael.
he got some points taken off last time.
he
did a rough go of it.
Isaiah over in Yakima has come strong. Like he's come
Who's
out
my guy down
strong.
In Santa Monica?
Kendall
in Santa Monica. Yeah,
Santa
really good caller.
Ann Arbor. Our fellow from Ann Arbor.
Brad in Ann Arbor.
Brian
in Bellevue always got some good Mariner tips.
I know Kyle wants to put Scott and Redmond on there.
Scott and Redmond, definitely.
You guys already put Kendall in Santa Monica?
Yeah. You just mentioned him.
Pat down in Reno. Bo down in L.A., but he's going to be moving to Baton Rouge.
Yes, we're going to
Baton Fred Rouge. That's a much better read.
This is going to be about Fred,
Fred
Birch
and Birch Bay.
Bay.
Ooh.
You know who doesn't call anymore? Who would be number one?
Yeah, the Skunk.
Well, Phil the Skunk is his own unique human.
Yes.
Or Skunk, depending on how you look at it. No, what's his name? Ricky in Federal Way. Remember Ricky with the deep voice?
Oh, yeah, Ricky in
Federal Way.
How about the poker player from Montesano? What's his name?
I don't remember.
That guy was great,
the guy who lived... Where's Montesano?
That's on your way to Long Beach.
Yeah. I remember that guy. Eric in something.
Yeah,
he was from down south.
Name. But yes, we are going to have a top five. All Roger, more than likely, he's going to start out as
Adam
number one.
Adam and Bremerton?
Yep.
And his brother,
and you're
going to
have a chance. Probably going to be prizes available.
Right. This will get rolled out here in the next couple of weeks.
Yes,
top five meals that I have ever had and in my entire life.
Corey and Puyallup, Jesse and Bothell.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot
Hunter
of good ones.
Hunter and Puyallup.
Yeah.
Who's the woman who always makes fun of me? Thinks that I'm too negative during Seahawks season.
Jody?
Might be.
Or Beast Mom?
Beast Mom and I are tight.
It's probably Jody.
I think it's Jody.
Beast Mom used to be a number one. Now she's not even top five.
Oh, wow. Shot down. All right. Jerks, barbecue season, gas or briquettes? I just go gas.
Just
I'm sorry.
Three kids.
It's so easier.
Events.
So much easier.
Come on.
So much easier, but it does taste a lot better when
it
you
does.
Do briquettes, right?
It does.
So I don't know if you guys saw my tweet over the weekend. It generated a lot of buzz in the social media circles. A lot of buzz.
Oh, big deal.
I said, I don't know if you are a person that hates me, and I know we got some of those here who listen or text in or for whatever reason just want to see me struggle. Watch me try to put the cover on my barbecue
night.
It's like a 30-minute process that usually and almost invariably ends in a tantrum. I don't know why Weber can't make a grill cover that fits with like a zipper or something so that you don't have to like get it absolutely perfect.
Right.
It's impossible. So last night I enlisted Heather's help to do it because the sprinklers were going to come on. So we're like, she's out there with me for 10 minutes. She's like, do you do this every night? I'm like, yeah. She's like, why? It's insane. She was so mad.
You know,
does
you
anyone
can,
else have this
why
problem?
Why don't you just throw a tarp on that?
No,
it comes
a
with
size,
a cover.
You can go a size bigger.
Well, then you have to
That's
use
what
it.
I need.
Just go a size bigger. Because it leaves room and it gets crinkled, it gets a little hard, it gets a little funky.
I would like
funky.
A size bigger.
Yeah, just go size bigger.
Okay,
it's
got to
be sick.
You're going to find that.
Yes.
Because it is driving me insane.
Home Depot. Yes, they got
go
it.
Go two sizes bigger.
Really?
Just to be sure. Just to be
Depot.
Safe.
Yes.
Can't hurt.
Home Meepo. That's what my daughter used to say.
Right.
I'm 100% with you, Salk. I've given up. Right? Oh, did you guys have a falling out with Milkman Jay?
No.
Oh,
this hasn't called
Milkman
in a while.
Jay.
Nor Stu the Guru.
Dude, I had a tantrum the other day. Little thing, the little bathtub, little spout thing came undone. I could not screw the thing back in. I got so mad, I almost spiked it in the bathtub.
Funny,
such
with little dexterous things like that will just drive you completely insane. Jerks, can I yell at the neighborhood kids when they're in the middle of the street? I mean, I do it anyway, but is it out of line?
By what?
Why do you do that?
What is the purpose of
the
yelling?
Playing a little baseball,
this person says they're in the middle of the street. They're trying to drive.
Just honk at them.
Yeah.
If it's a neighborhood, just like wait and park your car. It takes like six extra seconds.
Right. That doesn't seem to be something worth yelling about.
Don't have a tantrum.
No.
You want kids playing. You know the obesity rates of kids today? They're outside playing. That's great. Let them play.
Exactly.
Yeesh.
Stop complaining about everything.
Gosh. Niners.
The problem is, says a texter, the wind will take a bigger cover right off the grill right over to your neighbor.
Yeah, you got Velcro. You can just batten down the hatches. You'll be fine.
No, I just roll mine in the garage. Oh, well, how nice for you. You have a garage. I don't have a garage. Elitist.
You feel like Kyle just was like watching us today, like really bothered by the show? Texter didn't like the show yesterday.
Kyle didn't like it today.
Singing. I didn't get that sense.
You know, you guys said I didn't like the singing, but I was making cuts for a 7:30 segment. No, I had to be out.
Okay. All right. All right.
I got the sense Kyle liked the show a lot today.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm on board.
Hey, Kyle, did you see the tweet?
I'm here with my dad, and we never met, and he wants me to sing him a song.
Did you see Shannon's tweet last night with Joe Maurer? She said he once signed a pug.
Oh, I did see that.
It's the ESPN
magazine cover.
I mean, I don't like to use the term, but fake news.
Right, that's a Frenchie, if I've ever seen one. That dog looks just like Wendell. It's a black mask fawn. Mm-hmm. That is a Frenchie. That is not a pug.
I like that that's the part of the story that you pick up on.
Well,
it's a black mask fawn.
It's not a pug.
Wrong breed.
He's about to sign the belly of a little French bulldog.
I'm a dog star.
Wendell was crushed by the whole thing. Shannon better recognize.
I know my breeds.
Would you let a Mariner
I know
player
the breed that
Wendell?
I have. Yeah. Huh?
Would you let a Mariner player sign Wendell?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I wouldn't.
Pretentious elitist alert.
Wait, hold on.
It's not the right breed.
So, I know my own breed of dog, and so it's being pretentious and elitist to want somebody else to know that?
Yep.
They're the most popular dog in the country now.
Oh, my dog's the most popular.
That's the opposite of elitism.
Look at me.
It's literally the opposite of elitism.
I started it out, and everybody's following my lead.
It would be elitist if you said no one else has this kind of dog. Everyone has a Frenchie. They're like air molecules. They're everywhere.
Love you, man.
We gotta get out of here.
Bye.
Catch you guys tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. We'll play Which Is Better. We'll have Brent Musburger on the show at 9 o'clock. Scott Service on Thursday. A lot going on. We'll catch you guys at 7. Till then,
Barn.
See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!